You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pittsburgh Steelers have a new quarterback on their roster. His name is Russell Wilson. Hayden, Russ signs a one-year, $1.1 million contract. I will say from the Steelers' end, the money's probably irrelevant. What is more relevant is where his standing is going to be on the depth chart if he is the presumed starter. Obviously, this is with new offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, who has his own quarterback issues dating to his time as head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. What are your first takeaways here with Russ in Pittsburgh?
Because the Broncos are paying the $38 million, basically for Russell Wilson, it means that he only had one thing, one priority in free agency, and that was to find a starting spot. The fact that he went to the Steelers and already signed before free agency even kicked off, basically, tells me that he's going to be the starter for as long as they can rip this thing apart. I think after watching a bunch of Russell Wilson, that he is definitely better than the Kenny Pickett, definitely better than Mason Rudolph. And there are some quarterbacks like Carson Palmer, for example, who after a couple other stops finally finds the right match with the offensive coordinator and they can get the best of this. So in my opinion, I think that Russell Wilson's fit with the Steelers makes way more sense than it did with obviously Hackett. It makes more sense to me than what Sean Payton wants out of his quarterback, because this is a very much play action, deep shot type of offense. And I think that's what Russell Wilson is at this point.
So you like his fit with Arthur Smith, because I know that there's been some reactions where it's mixed, and I can take it from the mixed angle where if we look at attacking over the middle of the field, which Russell Wilson has almost been scared to do, I think is one way of putting it, over the last, I don't know, 7 years, dating us back to his time with the Seattle Seahawks. In fact, if you want to look at some numbers, if you look at beyond the line of scrimmage over the middle of the field, Russell Wilson last year, his throws attacked that area at 29.1%. Desmond Ridder was about 10% higher than that at 38.7%. So what I do like about this fit is that Arthur Smith is going to heavily, heavily rely on his running game. You're going to see some under center play action work with, obviously we've seen Russ do that in recent years. I just think that this Russell Wilson that is basically a cast off from Sean Payton when Denver didn't even start paying, you know, the new years of his contract that they gave him, is a very different quarterback than the let Russ cook era of Seattle. But at its core, how you win games might be somewhat similar in terms of playing strong defense with a figurehead at the top of that organization and then an offensive mind that wants to run the football and then take your shots here or there with Russ.
So I went back and looked at Arthur Smith and how often he takes over the middle of the field over the last like 6 years when he's been offensive coordinator, head coach. His teams have finished 9th, 7th, 4th, 10th, and 18th and how often they throw the ball over the middle of the field. It's about 28% of their plays on average. So I think that narrative, while it is true, Arthur Smith does want to throw over the middle. We saw that with Ryan Tannehill. I think kind of overstates like how often it really happens. Like most of the league, it's around 30%, 25, 35% in there. It's not like it's every single play. And also last year, what we did see was the Falcons actually led the NFL in most play action throws, 10 plus air yards downfield and near the sideline, a bunch of corner routes, a bunch of go balls from the perimeter. Desmond Ridder was not able to hit them. Last year, when I was watching Russell Wilson, I was surprised by still how good his arm is. We can talk about that he's not going to scramble around as much, though I thought 2023 and 2022 were two totally different pictures.
Yeah, he lost like 20-something pounds, and that was noticeable in his movement capabilities.
You saw that in the scrambles. You saw that also in the sack rate, and you also saw him just getting out of the pocket and throwing the ball downfield. To me, his deep ball is still very good. And he, in fact, PFF had him quarterback one in big-time throw rate off of play action. So I do think like if you really kind of look into some of the numbers, you can see how this could make some sense. He's not going to be the same player, though, when it comes to that athletic ability. We're not trying to pretend that Russell Wilson's going to be a top 15 quarterback. Could he be the quarterback 21, 22 this year? I do think so. And I think it's a huge
top 22 quarterback in the NFL from Russ.
I think he has it in this specific offense, and the price that you're paying for, I do think it is a roll of the dice situation here. I think that he would have been better than Justin Fields. I do think he's probably going to be better than Bo Nix or Michael Penix or whoever they would have been able to get. They're in a tough spot. They're in quarterback purgatory, and you don't land a potential starter for $1 million very often. And I think there's some level of blueprints of older players getting into a new scheme and having a little revitalized career. And also, he's very motivated on this one-year contract. So I don't think it's going to take the Steelers to the promised land. But I do understand why Russell Wilson would want the Steelers. And I also understand why Arthur Smith would want Russell Wilson just looking at these play action numbers.
Arthur Smith is the mayor of quarterback purgatory. I mean, you go
can't
from
get out of it.
Marcus Mariota to Desmond Ridder / Taylor Heineke to now Russell Wilson. I appreciate you taking the positive angle. I will voice my insecurities about Russell Wilson's game that were obviously clearly stated by Sean Payton, who couldn't stand coaching him. Let's be honest. I actually think when you, and some of this is anecdotal, but some of it is obviously going back and rewatching some of his tape. Some of the first halves and three quarters, I think Russell Wilson lost games for the Denver Broncos and then had strong fourth quarters with multiple touchdowns that then kind of changed how the entire game might look. And I totally am with you where the athleticism difference from 2022 to 2023 was noticeably different. I am extremely concerned with how he handles pressure or drops his eyes and plays hokey pokey in the pocket.
Yep.
Because when you get that style of Russell Wilson, which we saw in some complete halves or complete games, you're just going to lose the game. Like, he can flat out lose you games in the NFL. And that is a pretty devastating way to enter contests into the NFL. I want to throw some of these plays up here. This first one is fascinating to me because it is fourth and one, and I want to keep this in mind. And Russell Wilson's number one priority in his brain is to get the first down. But then what that does is completely turn down a wide open touchdown that he is totally staring at to Jerry Jeudy on the scissors crossing route, right? So he gets the first down. And again, I think this is an interesting encapsulation of where he might be as a player, where he then also at the same time turns down the touchdown aspect of this, okay? We get a whole, and I'll let this play out. But what we see is either quick throws, three-step drops, plays that have to get out of his hands, or a clean pocket situation that he could climb up and use subtle steps and maneuvers to find open spaces to throw to on second window throws. And what you're seeing constantly is him drop his eyes, move around, put more pressure on himself, more pressure on his offensive line. And that styling did work in his first 5-6 years in Seattle. I think despite the athleticism that he has gained over the last year, this style of play is going to frustrate the hell of whoever is calling plays and is going to frustrate the hell out of fans watching this team because it ruins the timing and the rhythm and the dynamic of the offense.
I completely agree with all of that. He drops his eyes. He bails from pockets. He can run himself right into pressure. His quick game ability is still not up to par. Hopefully he learned a thing or two from Sean Payton. It's a little bit better, but I think that the way that the Steelers have to manage this situation is keep the skill players in place. You don't have to add to the skill players. I think George Pickens is an excellent fit with Russell Wilson. You saw some of the insane plays that Cortland Sutton made down the field. I think you're going to see a lot of those. To me, you got to draft an offensive tackle in the first round. You got to throw some more money at the center position as well. The good news is, right in that 20th overall pick range, you have a bunch of right tackles, you have a bunch of left tackles, you have a bunch of centers and out there. And Broderick Jones, he played left tackle in college, and then last year he played right tackle. So there's flexibility. To me, you have to get the offensive tackle spots as good as you can with Russell Wilson, because he will drop his eyes, he will play hokey pokey, like you said, in the pocket. I do think if you try to get the offensive line completely figured out, that will help some of the flaws that he has in this game, because I'm right there with you. The same Russ, he's kind of become a meme with all like how bad he's playing and how bad of the fit he is with all these things. I do see that still. I think we just have gone a little overboard with how bad of a quarterback he is. Watch some of the other quarterbacks, man. Like, watch the Kenny Pickett games. Like,
I'm not advocating for Kenny Pickett as a player.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, what do you do with this if you're the Steelers? I do think that this is a decent option for them.
To your point, I understand that offensive line talent is going to improve quarterback play out there for whoever. I also don't believe that they should cater this entire offseason to...
Well, they need an offensive tackle anyways.
right. To helping Russell Wilson in 2024. Again, they're in a very interesting dynamic. Mike Tomlin just cannot lose enough games for you to be in a spot where you can take top-end quarterback. So they might be in that. I mean, they're not even in the J.J. McCarthy sweepstakes. It is the Bo Nix, Michael Penix, whoever else you want to put in that tier. But again, does a Russ plus Kenny Pickett offseason take you out of that market? Like, I don't think that – I kind of think it might, because I don't know if Arthur Smith is going to be able to teach a rookie quarterback along with Russell Wilson and then Kenny Pickett all in the same offense. So to me, first two round selections, it would not be shocking if the Pittsburgh Steelers are done at the quarterback position this year. Mm-hmm. And then – that kind of kicks the can for another year to find a real quarterback for this team. When Minka Fitzpatrick's getting older, TJ Watt's getting older, Cam Hayward is getting older. And I do want to add that Adam Schefter came out this morning and said, quote, that I think Mike Tomlin will declare this an open competition at quarterback. Now, that might just be a Mike Tomlin style, but the great Patrick Claibon pointed out that who can beat the phenom of Kenny Pickett in the preseason? I mean, the dude didn't throw an incompletion last year. So that could be an interesting dynamic as we approach preseason action too.
I think they want to keep Russ motivated, and I think that this will be Russ's competition. He picked the Steelers for a reason too. It's more about where Russ wanted to go versus the other way around here. I had another point.
Quick question for you. So we just saw over the weekend that the Steelers are taking phone calls for Deontay Johnson. I hear you that George Pickens can do his best Cortland Sutton impression, and maybe it was Cortland Sutton doing an impression of what maybe a superior talent in George Pickens can do. Yeah. But that can also be a hugely frustrating angle for us to watch on a weekly basis as fantasy football players, where everything once again is going to be from the hash marks to the sideline or to the numbers to the sideline. And then it's a game of inches of if George Pickens gets 2 feet in bounds. And if not, this is certainly not the expanded route tree probably that we are going to see from George Pickens. Maybe it was on paper with Arthur Smith, but when you add Russell Wilson to that equation, again, he is a more limited passer over the middle of the field than plenty of other starters out there across the NFL.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think that George Pickens is going to be like a classic better in best ball type of pick here. I also think that Deontay Johnson on occasion could also work the perimeter and go upfield and make some plays.
It sounds like they're
on the sideline too.
They're interested in potentially moving Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, possibly. I think you'd be really restarting at the wide receiver position you would have nobody else. I think that they're going to play two wide receiver sets a lot. I think the Darnell Washington pick all of a sudden staying in there, the tackle, or basically a tight end playing tackle out there for the play action
game. Multiple tight end sets going to be. Yeah,
be pretty important now. I like that fit as well. But I think when you were listing out all those defensive players that are getting older, Minka Fitzpatrick, like Mike Tomlin potentially being on the last year of his contract too. Like, to me, who has more upside for this next year, Russell Wilson or Bo Nix, Russell Wilson or Michael Penix? I still think it's Russell Wilson than like that tier of quarterback. Do you think maybe they could have thrown a huge bag at Kirk Cousins? I would not have been mad at that, but that would have been a multi-year deal. I think that this was like, for this year, just taking a shot at a quarterback for this price, I think that it does make more sense than going the rookie quarterback route. Just because, like you said, it does seem like this is kind of like the year with the defense still being good and with Deontay Johnson still under contract to like see if you can hit the jackpot with one of these type of veteran quarterbacks.
I mean, the Steelers are just constantly in a fascinating position, because even when they have a first round pick that is a failure at the quarterback position, Mike Tomlin and this organization, again, continues and refuses to be bad enough to get in a position to go out there and get a top-end quarterback because they just won too many games. Like, they will take Kenny Pickett out and put in Mason Rudolph and so on and so forth and just try to win 9-10 contests. And they do it.
Yep.
They do it. Again, final thoughts to me.
Okay.
You have to limit who Russell Wilson is and his impact on a game on a weekly basis. To me, that is coaching around a player and not coaching with a player. And we are coaching around the quarterback. That is a tightrope to walk on a weekly basis. Now, does Arthur Smith have experience in that over the last few years? Yes, with mixed results. Absolutely. just on a weekly basis, man. I don't know what type of Russell Wilson you're going to get from trusting the play call and the pieces around him. And when he doesn't have trust, it almost tanks what the offense can be.
He's going to still be that really streaky player. If the go ball is working, if the play action shots are working, he can get hot. He also can go these cold streaks for all the weaknesses that you're going out to. Just last year, 19th in EPA per play, 22nd in success rate, 23rd in points earned. He actually led all quarterbacks in completion percentage over expected because his arm to me is still fairly good.
So, well, and a lot of that is like sideline shots, right, once again, that have a low rate of success, and he was hitting them at a higher rate of success.
Right. So with all of those weaknesses, he was still in that quarterback 20-ish type of range. I'm okay with thinking that he can be that. And I think the current narrative around Russell Wilson is he's not even an NFL starter anymore. I've watched too many other NFL starters in this. Desmond Ridder, people are trying to sell me.
Again, I am not one of these people.
I understand that you weren't, but just the narrative, try to list 32 NFL quarterbacks. Russell Wilson is certainly in them. And before he signed here, they did not have one of those guys. And this is a team, like you keep saying, could still be around 500, even without the quarterback position solved. So quarterback 20, Russell Wilson, if the Steelers can get that, I think they would have a chance to be in the wild card mix in a very tough division here. Maybe they can go on a Buccaneers type of run like what we just saw this last year. And I think for the last couple of years, I feel like Steelers fans would have to at least think there's a little bit more exciting than what they had the last 2-3 years.
AFC North is going to be fascinating because now Russell Wilson twice a year is going to face the Cleveland Browns defense. He's going to face the reworked Baltimore Ravens defense. He's going to face hopefully a better Lou Anarumo defense with the Cincinnati Bengals. They obviously can't be worse than they were last year. That's a tough market for a dude who, again, I felt really struggled against the top defenses that he faced this past season. The Chicago Bears make the first signing of free agency, a new running back on their roster. It is DeAndre Swift per Mike Garofalo, a 3-year, $24 million contract. And we always want to check the guarantees when it comes to running backs. That comes from Adam Schefter. Again, 3 years, $15.3 million guaranteed. Just quickly, Hayden, before we get into the contract details of this, Chicago Bears are pretty much hitting a reset button on their entire offense. Why would they go and sign DeAndre Swift?
Well, they have the fourth most money in cap space, so they got to fill that somehow. Now, I am a little bit puzzled why they would want to make the one of the first moves of the entire free agency with a running back, and I think we'll get to it. I'm not sure how much better DeAndre Swift is than Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson, and this is $15 million guaranteed. The third year is probably completely unguaranteed. It's kind of like the David Montgomery contract works, for example. So I'm treating this somehow like a 2-year, $15 million contract. Go ask the Panthers about Miles Sanders. I think Miles Sanders and DeAndre Swift are fairly comparable players. Both obviously came from the Eagles. Last year, they threw DeAndre Swift in a zone-based scheme. Yeah. That's what Shane Waldron runs. So there's a little bit of a fit there. But I think that some of the limitations that DeAndre Swift had going back to the Lions still exist today. So I think he's a committee back. I think that he kind of goes down in first contact a little bit more, bounces some runs a little bit more. But he is a fairly athletic guy. And I think that he will compete with Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson.
First, let's put that contract into perspective here. As you mentioned, the two, let's say, second-tier running back signings just from contract perspective that were made last offseason. Miles Sanders, Dave Montgomery. Again, that is $6.3 and $6 million annually on average. And the guarantees for each of those were 13 for Miles Sanders and 8.75 for Dave Montgomery. And again, now it's 15.2 here for DeAndre Swift. This is resetting that tier two running back market and ahead of when a bunch of the big names a la Saquon Barkley are about to sign at the position. Okay, so what does he bring to the table that's not already on the roster? You know me, I love Khalil Herbert's game as one of the most underrated pure runners in the NFL. But if we look back, he has barely been featured ever in the receiving game. I mean, this past season was his best, and that was 31 targets, 20 receptions, 134 yards. On top of that, the same regime in Ryan Poles spent a mid-round selection on Roschon Johnson. Impeccable special teams player, but most importantly, solid in pass pro coming out of college and a pass catcher. I think that what he, though, excels in is winning on contact and trying to barrel forward for a couple more yards and breaking that first tackle. DeAndre Swift is more of like an out-in-space player, hopefully wins with explosive plays. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been on vacation after a long day of activities or sightseeing? You have a night in, room service, bathrobes. and television or movies. And when you're in a foreign country, you scroll Netflix or Hulu or whatever streaming service you have, and you realize that the library of content there is so much larger than it is in the United States. You start a new show, a new series, and when you get back home, you realize you now have to find that on a different service or pay for it in a different way. That is where Surfshark comes in. It's a VPN service that lets you virtually travel the world with a tap of a finger. You can go to Spain, Canada, Costa Rica to watch the content available in those countries. So you can try Surfshark today, totally risk-free, with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And get Surfshark VPN at surfshark.deals/underdog. Or enter promo code underdog for 3 extra months for free. You heard me right. 3 extra months for free. That is surfshark.deals/underdog. Today's episode is brought to you by Surfshark. You all know my obsession. Aston Villa Football Club. The greatest team in the world. Unfortunately, sometimes, because I live in Brooklyn, sitting in this apartment, I can't see specific content that is made around the club, that is geared towards Europe, that is geared towards Great Britain. Those are geo-restricted. And that, my friends, is where a VPN comes in, and that is where Surfshark comes in. It can seem like I am sitting in a coffee shop in the heart of Birmingham, England, so I can watch the highlights or the commentary of Douglas Luiz curling a shot in the top right corner, or Leon Bailey putting 3 defenders on the grass with his 1, 2, 3 crossover moves. And it extends beyond that. Can't see a YouTube video because of your location? Use Surfshark VPN. Do you want a larger library of Netflix movies to access, like in Canada? Use Surfshark VPN. It's totally risk-free with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And on top of that, if you enter coupon code underdog for an extra 3 months, they will give you an extra 3 months free so you can secure your privacy with Surfshark. Just go to surfshark.deals/underdog. Go and use it. It's super easy. Big difference in that role in terms of skills attached to it. But to me, this was significantly limit any receiving abilities that we could get from Roschon Johnson moving forward. And either he or Khalil Herbert then will need to specialize in goal to go short yarded situations, because that, even dating back to the Detroit Lions days, has never been DeAndre Swift's MO. I mean, look at Jamal Williams scoring 20 touchdowns. Look at last year when him really not scoring short yarded touchdowns. And obviously you have Jalen Hurts on top of that. There's many layers to unpack here, but would you agree with a bunch of those statements?
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. I think that these three players have different strengths and very distinct weaknesses. I think that all three of them will have some action. Obviously, this contract means that the prices that people are paying an underdog right now, Roschon Johnson, RB38, Khalil Herbert, RB44, bye-bye. Those guys are going to go way down the pecking order. DeAndre Swift's the RB31. I would say this is a mediocre, at best, landing spot because of the other two guys that are on the roster. I think it'll be Caleb Williams as the quarterback. I've seen Caleb Williams take some of the goal line runs in himself as well, but all these highlights that we're showing right here, it's a lot of shotgun with Caleb Williams.
Inside zone.
Read stuff.
Yep.
And I think that you're going to get some of those similar plays with the Chicago Bears real quick. On these zone runs last year, DeAndre Swift, he was the running back 33 of 55 in SIS. They have a points earned per carry, which is like taking the EPA, but actually crediting it to the running back versus the O-line versus the quarterback. So mid-range zone rusher.
Right.
I think that's kind of what DeAndre Swift is at this point. Caleb Williams will throw a couple screens probably to DeAndre Swift throughout the season. He can run some routes there, but I think it's just a lot of money to spend on, we're saying, a average rusher. And I know you have to fill up the cap space, and I think that's what you're going to sell yourself if you are a Bears fan, but he was a running back 46 of 59 in PFF grade last year.
At the same time, I don't want to sit here and act like we are anti-running back, like many people who do make football content on the internet are. You and I embrace running backs. In fact, we actually love the Dave Montgomery contract last year. And I think one avenue for teams to create explosive plays at the NFL level now are through the running back position. And maybe that adds value to them. Again, once we're seeing these cover two shells over and over again, that can be more difficult to do in the passing game. Now, the team that is probably doing that better than almost anyone else, the Detroit Lions, realized, hey, DeAndre Swift isn't the best fit in our offense, and we're going to upgrade with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. And all these highlights that you're seeing with DeAndre Swift, he's running behind Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, who just got the bag, and Jason Kelce, arguably one of the best centers of all time. And while the Bears are probably going to continue to invest in their offensive line, you don't have that same dynamic. I did mention those Khalil Herbert receiving stats, and some of that I think you can attach to Justin Fields.
Yep.
Now, you can also attach it to, you know, the offense coordinators that have gone through there potentially. Let's look at what Shane Waldron did just this past season with Seattle. Okay. Zach Charbonnet had 40 targets for 33 receptions. Kenneth Walker had 37 targets for 29 receptions. That is attached to three wide receivers: Tyler Lockett, 122 targets; DK Metcalf, 119 targets; JSN, 93 targets. I don't think, unless we see a big move for a third pass catcher for the Bears, that we're going to see three 90 plus wide receiver target getters on the Bears roster this year. It's just fascinating to me because he is an incomplete running back who will have to win in the passing game and win on explosives, has clear flaws to his game, yet it's so clear that the Bears, and maybe Shane Waldron most of all, believe that like he was the dude to be the player to fill in this spot rather than go and attack it in the draft. Or because you can kind of get pass catcher explosive guys with third tier free agency contracts, or like the Eagles did last year, trading a late round pick just to get DeAndre Swift for a season. This is a massive investment for this type of prototype.
Yeah, completely agree. And I also think that Caleb Williams, he's got so much of that playmaker gene. I'm not sure how much he's going to be throwing the ball to running backs necessarily versus some other types of quarterbacks. So that's like another wrinkle here. So yeah, I think for fantasy purposes, I'm not excited to be drafting any of these backs. I think that all of them have a chance to drop in ADP. I think DeAndre Swift last year got a couple more touchdowns than usual. The receiving numbers did.
He really didn't, to be honest with you. What's crazy is he had 5 rushing touchdowns and 1 receiving touchdown.
Wow, that's less than I thought.
That's it. And that was on 70 more carries than he had in any other year with the Detroit Lions. On the same number of rushing scores.
Yeah.
And then the receiving numbers, that dropped from 78 back in 2021 in just 13 games down to 49 targets in 2023. So you almost have to like combine the two aspects that he did with the Lions and with the Eagles to get like this money to be worth it. And that can be a stretch. But Hayden, if it does work, then this is going to be the most important back to me on the Bears roster as we approach fantasy football drafts this offseason. Clearly, even if Khalil Herbert's underlying metrics make him one of the more underappreciated pure runners in the NFL.
Yeah, and this is, I think, the DeAndre Swift story, going back to the receiving production. A lot of running back receiving production is based off of the scheme. You kind of see that exactly right when he doesn't have the running back friendly offense, the receiving numbers get cut in half. So I think that's just a little bit of a something to keep in mind when you're trying to translate running backs into new offenses.
Anything we want to say about the Philadelphia Eagles on the other aspect of this? It didn't seem like they were ever mentions or rumors that they were going to re-sign DeAndre Swift. We've seen them, you know, throw in Kenny Gainwell in spots, early free agency mentions that they are linked to Saquon Barkley. We'll have a video on wherever he signs, obviously, when that does happen. That would be an epic long con payoff for Howie Roseman, who again loves mid to late rounders or small deal swap, pick swaps or small deals as the running back position versus obviously a heavy investment. But maybe this is the time to change in it.
I think that this signing probably makes Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, and those type of backs feel pretty good, because this is more money than what the running back market got last year for, I think, similar players: David Montgomery, DeAndre Swift, Miles Sanders. I would tier them fairly similarly, and now DeAndre Swift made the most money out of all of them.
Tony Pollard is a Tennessee Titan. According to Josina Anderson, he basically signs the exact same deal that DeAndre Swift just signed. So, Hayden, that is 3 years, $24 million, $15 million guaranteed. It's a lot of investment for a team that has a bunch of holes, that also has a running back on their roster in Tajay Spears that the public absolutely loves, but that internally, Hayden, they've been calling a 3-down running back since they drafted him.
Well, here's the thing about three down running backs. They typically don't weigh 200 pounds, and they typically don't have the knee injuries that Tyjae Spears is dealing with. In my opinion, Tony Pollard is a much better running back than DeAndre Swift. So comparing the two, I like the Tony Pollard deal more. Once again, I'm sure the Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry deals are going to be even bigger than this. The Titans also had money to spend. They're third most in cap space. This is a new coaching staff. I think that's where I wanted to start here, because in the last two seasons, Brian Callahan with the Bengals, he pivoted to a more gap-based run. So fewer zone runs, more gap man power runs. Tony Pollard was seventh in the amount of gap runs he had last year. He was 16th in gap runs the year previous, and that was with Zeke still on the roster. So there's a familiarity with the type of rushing offense that Brian Callahan might be bringing to the Titans here. And I think that Tony Pollard's going to be, this sounds crazy, but he's going to kind of go into a version of the Derrick Henry role where he's going to be the goal line back over Tyjae Spears. He's going to be the power rusher. Tyjae Spears, get him to the perimeter as like the change of pace guy. Sure, I like that. But we're going to see the Titans, instead of being 31st in pass attempts with Callahan or with the previous regime, that's going to go up, more balanced offense. So 200 touches for Tony, or 200 carries for Tony Pollard, 100 to 125 carries for Tyjae Spears. And I think that's how you have the running back room.
The first thing you think about when you bring up Tony Pollard's season from last year, lack of explosiveness. If we just look at the numbers, he had 267 carries last year. Only 11 went for 15 plus yards. And that was with the passing game being extremely explosive. And compare that to the previous year, you drop down to 214 carries. He had 19 that went for 15 plus yards. And Hayden, that's not even factoring in the receiving aspect of this, where he went from 62 receptions in 2023 down to, you know, 44 in 2022. Yet, obviously, the yards per catch, all those numbers were far superior explosives in the previous years. You can tie that to a couple of things. One, we heard his running backs coach come out and say that, hey, this is a guy that we don't want to give 15 touches to every single game. We want to allow him to factor in with those explosives more often. But two, it's also the fractured ankle or fibula or whatever it was, lower leg. Let's
he basically broke his leg like last year. Yeah.
And that actually pops up when you look at just his force missed tackles. This is just one metric. It might not be perfect. But look from weeks 1 through 9. At most, it's 3. Sometimes it's 1. Sometimes it's 0 per game. And as the season went along and naturally, potentially healthier, you see his broken tackle rate at a much higher clip. So my question to you, Hayden, is Tony Pollard used to be, in his first 3 years, one of the most explosive running backs in the league. Do you think that has vanished, or could that come back here in 2024?
I have a theory that as your broken leg gets further away, your broken tackle rates start going up. So I think that we're going to see a much different Tony Pollard, where he was one of the most efficient running backs. And I think that because he was the change of pace guy to Ezekiel Elliott, I think people think that Tony Pollard's like some finesse rusher. Like, to me, his vision running north-south is like his underrated quality here. He also is 210 pounds, 6 foot, compared to Tyjae Spears, 5'10", 200 pounds flat. So I think that you're going to get a more of a north-south rusher, and hopefully the big playability comes back here. Obviously, the huge difference between Tennessee and Dallas is the offensive line in general. Obviously, when you bring Callahan's dad into the mix, the Titans should have a much better ground game offensive line. They might take a tackle at 7th overall.
Or they just invest in more pass catchers like they did in Cincinnati.
Right. And that would help them score more points than what the Titans were able to trot out last year. Hopefully Will Levis in the second year. So, yeah, I think that this was fairly expensive, more expensive than I thought this running back market was going to cost. But I understand that you don't want to graduate Tyjae Spears from this role where he had 100 carries into being the true number one. I can understand why they want to bring Tony Pollard in there, kind of committee this out. They both have clear strengths and weaknesses here. But I always thought in the best ball lobby on Underdog Fantasy, he was the RB18 right now, Tyjae Spears. That's getting a little bit too aggressive here. I moved him down way like into like near like 150th overall, where the other committee guys are, because I do think that Tyjae Spears is just limited by the knee injury and then the size.
Before we go any further, whenever a running back, wide receiver, quarterback, tight end gets signed or traded during this free agency period, we're gonna have a video just like this one. So hit that subscribe button, hit the thumbs up. as you mentioned, people go crazy when running backs sign contracts. Let's not forget that the Tennessee Titans had $69 million in effective cap space. They need to spend it somewhere. And as we talked about in the DeAndre Swift video, I firmly believe teams understand that explosives can be had out of the running back position. Those matter too. Those count just as equal as in the passing game. And as the passing game gets more difficult to create explosives, it gets lighter and lighter boxes for these running backs too. I am a massive fan of Tajay Spears. In fact, in second halves, fourth quarters, when Derrick Henry went down, Tajay Spears owned the backfield and he looked really good doing it. I don't know if I am willing to go and to make it as binary as, let's say, the Bengals backfield was in 2022 of Joe Mixon does this, Samaje Perine does this. To me, Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan will mix and match a little bit more versus, hey, two down thumper plus goal line, and then Samaje Perine passing down work is Tony Pollard to Tajay Spears. I think they just want to bring in as much talent as possible and understand that, hey, running games matter too. We have an offensive line genius coaching it. And if we invest in more talent there, this actually alleviates some pressure, obviously, onto Will Levis into his second year too.
I think it's difficult because Tajay Spears is probably going to have maybe a couple more chances at goal line carries with Tony Pollard versus Derrick Henry. But also, Derrick Henry had such a zero in the pass game for all those years that he was defined into every single passing down. Tony Pollard could play in that role too. So that is a little bit of a threat for Tajay Spears where you're not
What I mean is it's somewhat similar to what the Bengals had where, hey, they hated Joe Mixon in pass pro. And so Samaje Perine was good at that. And so that's what made it binary too. Like these skill sets, again, this is just my eyes, mesh and overlap a bit more than what we've seen in previous Titans backfields and what we've seen in previous Bengals backfields.
I think it's just harder to say like Tajay Spears for sure will be in this role now. And now it's going to be a true competition. And I think that last year's Tony Pollard was going to be, is going to be the outlier year. You're going to reduce his touches. He's going to be more effective away from the, that broken leg he has. And I think that, that he'll kind of run away with this job. So I'm going to rank Tony Pollard way ahead of Tajay Spears in my rankings. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Just for reflection, Tajay Spears only had 100 carries last year, 453 yards, two scores. Did have 70 targets as a rookie.
That probably goes down. 52
receptions.
Though.
Yeah, it might go down. 52 receptions, 385 yards, and one score. Again, I am not taking this as the Titans are uncertain about his knees. They have never discussed that. That might impact second contract. I don't think that impacts second year. And I just think that, again, when you look at how much wide receiver contracts are going to get, and they obviously might be in a position to take a wide receiver very high and blend him with DeAndre Hopkins and Treylon Burks and whoever else. Like, this is your core on offense already, and you can move up from there. And the people that were already drafting, I'm a massive fan of Tajay Spears, fan club 101. But if you were drafting him as 18th overall, that was lunacy to start this because, again, so much cap space in mind, losing a figurehead like Derrick Henry, I would have waited until after free agency to shove him up boards like that.
I agree.
The Las Vegas Raiders have a new quarterback. His name, Gardner Minshew, a two-year, $25 million deal. That includes $15 million guaranteed. Hey, and this is an awkward deal. It puts him kind of in like no man's land territory. I'll share what over the cap has for his slotting in terms of averages per year. Again, Gardner Minshew is right here. That is behind the numbers of your Jimmy G's, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield at 12.5. But it's ahead of backups or potential starters previously, like Taylor Heineke, Andy Dalton, if you want to go there, Jacoby Brissett. So I'm not sure what to do here other than to say that Gardner Minshew is the presumed competitor to Aiden O'Connell. And it would be surprising if they make a heavy investment beyond that. Would you agree?
It's no man's land. I don't think that this prevents them from making another move, whether that be via the draft or via a Justin Fields trade down the line. But this is more money than the Jacoby Brissett tier. So I don't know what to call this. I just think this is a very unserious move. You signed Christian Wilkins. You're all in right now with Max Crosby. You just traded for Davante Adams. And this is your upside swing, Gardner Minshew, right now, over the last four seasons, among 54 qualifiers, 41st in success rate, 32nd in EPA per play. Last year, the numbers were fine, but that was a very comfy scheme with Shane Steichen. Lots of RPO passes, which are basically like brainless throws to Michael Pittman, who's very good. And whenever I watch him play, the thing that always stands out to me the most is he brings on the pressure himself.
Totally.
Nobody in the league, in my opinion, steps more into traffic than Gardner Minshew without bringing the upside. Last year, he was the seventh highest in the percentage of pressures where he took on responsibility, according to PFF. The other ones are, let's go through this, Russell Wilson, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Daniel Jones, and Josh Allen. All those guys are at least run. Gardner Minshew doesn't do that. And he's 28. We know who Gardner Minshew is. So I don't understand why you'd go with Gardner Minshew at this price versus rolling the dice on Justin Fields or completely punting this thing off and finding, maybe if you get lucky, Michael Penix or Bo Nix or somebody like that later on.
I just realized that we set ourselves up. Producer Weaves did the same thing, because these are going to be Michael Pittman Jr. and Josh Downs highlights, which means they're going
they're good.
To be, that means they're going to be Gardner Minshew highlights. So everything we say about the inadequacies of and the limitations of Gardner Minshew's game probably not going to show up in these aspects. What stands out to me is 49.6% of his passes this past season were in the 0 to 9 yard range. Mm-hmm. Just 10.4%, 20 plus yards down the field. Shane Steichen is an unbelievable coach. I believe that Shane Steichen carried Gardner Minshew to a 7-6 record this past season. That is not the styling of offense that Shane Steichen wants to run. He just was forced to do it once Anthony Richardson went down, and then Gardner Minshew became the starter. It is, like you said, RPOs, quick game, that type of thing, crossing routes. Obviously, they would use a wide receiver kind of to, like Josh Downs, to stretch everyone laterally so then they could, you know, work that 0 to 9 yard range. It's just not a lot of explosive plays that you're going to get on top of it. And that's behind a fantastic offensive line with quite good pass catchers. He is not one of these like composed precision guys, actually what Aiden O'Connell kind of is with his accuracy. Mm-hmm. He's like an off platform, off the mark mover that then at the same time doesn't give you the explosive element or the big play potential. And so again, if this is the move, and if I am following the money, it seems like this is the move for Luke Getsy and Antonio Pierce and this offense. Lost Josh Jacobs. You can't maximize what Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers do best in this regard. I don't know. It just kind of brings in a capped offense, and I just don't want to live in a world where Gardner Minshew is my shot to take the team into a winning situation.
This also doesn't scream Antonio Pierce to me, so I'm left kind of wondering who's calling the shots in Las Vegas right now. Is it Telesco? Is it Pierce? Is it a combination of, they have like multiple GMs basically right now. I don't know who this exactly was for, but I think equally as important of a conversation with Gardner Minshew to the Raiders, to me, is like, there was this report that surfaced right before the signing that the Raiders were calling the Bears about Justin Fields. Obviously there's history with Luke Getsy, but right now the Bears, they're not picking up the phone. According to Ian Rappaport, we had Caleb Williams, who refused to take the medical portion of the combine, and Bears seem a little bit scared and they want to at least have that done before they trade Justin Fields. But man, with the Raiders going with Gardner Minshew, with Russell Wilson going to the Steelers, I know that Justin Fields is not a fit with Sean Payton or Kevin O'Connell with the Broncos and the Vikings. I'm running out of landing spots for Justin Fields. I thought this was going to be kind of like the last call, your last pick at recess, and all of a sudden the Fields and the Raiders would make some sense together. But man, at this point, they just basically so far have said Gardner Minshew is better than Justin Fields. Correct. And is a higher chance of hitting a home run over the next couple of seasons.
The Raiders have simply chosen Gardner Minshew over Justin Fields.
That's nuts. And
I believe that is nuts. I will add, Justin Fields is also a flawed player in vastly different ways somewhat than Gardner Minshew is. I don't know how you can I don't know how you can watch these two and think that the styling of offense that Gardner Minshew forces you to play in is the one that you want to live in.
Right.
Justin Fields improved his pocket capabilities in terms of not taking horrific sacks, that derail the drive that you're on? Is he, you know, a composed pocket passer at this point? No, but he brings other elements to the table. It is just shocking to me that we're at this point where an organization chooses. I understand draft capital is on top of it. And again, I know many of you Colts fans are going to reiterate that they went 7-6 last year, and Raiders fans would be like, he won. You know, he did that as a rookie too. He went 6-6, right? But man, go back and watch it. If you don't have Shane Steichen running that offense and manufacturing this offense, you have to coach again around, you have to force Gardner Minshew to success rather than the quarterback having success despite the offensive play caller, if that makes sense. Like when things go wrong, Justin Fields can obviously make something happen, and he can make some bad things happen when things also go right. But I don't know if Gardner Minshew possesses that playmaking.
Yeah, look at the traits,
at all.
The youth, the traits, all of that stuff. I mean, Gardner Minshew is maxed out at this point. So very confusing for me with Gardner Minshew out of Indianapolis. I do wonder if Justin Fields has to go to a market like the Colts, for example, like the Eagles, where he's a pure backup quarterback to another dual threat type of quarterback. Maybe that's what the Bears are hoping for at this point. I mean, if they're only going to get a fourth or fifth round pick for Justin Fields, similar to Mac Jones, do the Bears at some point to say, screw it, he'll be our quarterback too, and he'll be the backup to Caleb Williams? It just kind of like, this was the point. I understood Russell Wilson, to me, I understood the selling. Russell Wilson's better this year and next year versus Justin Fields, and we don't have to make a trade if you're the Steelers. This is the first time where I'm like, this is the quarterback that we want over the upside swing of Justin Fields, even with all those flaws.
Sure. And again, a pick does not come in the fold when you're going out and getting Gardner Minshew. It's just, again, the type of offense you have to build around him. It's all about spacing and timing and short throws, and once in a while taking a shot here or there. And that goes along with the quarterback who at times holds the football too long and puts himself into commotion, versus obviously Justin Fields, who can be a downfield passer, be the most athletic player on the field, gives you one or two explosive plays off of that. Mm-hmm. But then at times when he does try to draw outside the lines or hold on to the football too long, you get super negative plays that can lose you games. So again, both are flawed prospects and flawed players. I would just rather side with the team and watch that on a weekly basis of Justin Fields than Gardner Minshew. And I just quickly want to cycle back. I said that this might be the end of it from the Raiders in at the quarterback position. Maybe not in the draft. Like, I think you can add a rookie to this dynamic and that works out. But I don't see any way that they add Justin Fields now to this and make it a three-person competition, when I actually think Aiden O'Connell was like a legit part of this competition.
Yeah, he can be your QB3. You can make him the new rule with the NFL as the third quarterback if you want to. So I cannot believe this is what the Raiders are going to say. This is our quarterback plan. We're done here. So I think,
like, what is the offense now? You know, there is no Josh Jacobs. No. You have Davante Adams, who
he's got to be pissed.
I mean, and it seems like he was pissed last year. And
yeah, the same situation.
He might be one of these players that definitely wanted Antonio Pierce to return. We go into another season wondering who are the Las Vegas Raiders offensively. Right. And if Gardner Minshew is the answer, then it's short stuff.
I mean, good thing is Davante Adams, he can win downfield and short. And Jacoby Myers can work short. They have Michael Mayer as well. So, like, I understand in that aspect, but they don't have a short-term or long-term answer. And they just traded Davante Adams and paid him all of that money. They just paid Christian Wilkins all of this money. You hit the home run on Max Crosby, and this is the final result right here. Like, please trade for Justin Fields or something else. Like, this please cannot be the answer.
All right. I know this turned into like a Gardner Minshew versus Justin Fields dynamic, but I don't know the next time we'll talk about Justin Fields. Like, maybe the Bears are waiting on this medical for Caleb Williams. That's not going to happen until his pro day. And the value just keeps going down, obviously, as more and more of these teams sign quarterbacks. Woo. All right. Go and check out our other videos. We have one for basically every single wide receiver, running back, et cetera, signing. And there'll be many more on the way. Subscribe. Thumbs up. Talk to you next time.